أهل السنة والجماعة ميديا presents إيمان بوسترز بيوند رمضان by شيخ بلال دنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and upon all those who follow his guidance and in his footsteps until the last day. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعدك. قال قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. He said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me something about Islam which I can ask of no one but you. I want to hear it from you and only you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a very simple response, yet it is a very important response, a significant response. He said, قُلْ, say, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, say, I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, and then remain steadfast, or then remain upright. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the month of Ramadan we departed from, we farewelled some days ago, and during Ramadan we saw how so many people, so many Muslims were filled with zeal, with passion, with enthusiasm when it comes to the different acts of worship: fasting, qiyam, recitation of the Quran, praying in the masjid, dhikr, dua, sadaqah. And then how unfortunate it is that so many Muslims, after the month of Ramadan, their iman begins to enter into a lull. All their iman drops, it decreases, it begins to diminish. It is as if the Lord of Ramadan, the Rabb of Ramadan, is not the Rabb of the other 11 months of the year. So what should we do then to add to our iman and the taqwa that we gained in Ramadan? What are the ways in which we can increase our iman and to keep the momentum that we had during Ramadan, that drive? But before I enter into the post-Ramadan iman boosters and that which will nurture our iman, I want to answer a very important question, and that is, what is iman? Why is iman important? Why do we need it? And why should we increase our iman? Iman, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is not something that we merely yearn for without action, or something that we gain through superficial acts, such as, for example, wearing a chain with Allah on it, or wearing a chain that says Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or it might have the Quran, or hanging the Quran in your rearview mirror in your car, or decorating your walls with Quranic frames, or wearing a shirt that says, I am a Muslim, or something of that nature. الإيمان ليس بالتمني ولا بالتحلي. That iman is not something that you merely yearn for with your words, and it's not something that you just adorn yourself with on the outside. It's like, for example, some people, they may be, you know, they wear these sporting brands, whether it's Adidas or whether it's Reebok or Nike or any of the other sporting labels that are out there, thinking that these labels, just by wearing them, they're going to, you know, look fit, and that they are fit on the inside. But that is not the reality. You need to do something about becoming fit or fitter. Likewise, your iman. الإيمان ما وقر في القلب وصدقه العمل. Iman is what enters the heart and is proven by your actions. And often in the Quran, we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا. That those who have belief and they follow that belief with actions. A good definition of iman that most ulama quote is, الإيمان قول باللسان. Iman is words that you utter with your tongue. I believe in Allah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. I believe in Allah, the angels, the books, the scriptures, Day of Judgment, the prophets and messengers, Qada and Qadr. This is with your tongue. So, الإيمان قول باللسان وتصديق بالجنان. It is something that you also believe in your heart. وَعَمَلٌ بِالْجَوَارِحِ وَالْأَرْكَانِ. And it is also actions that you do with your limbs, such as salat, such as hajj, such as sadaqah. Therefore, iman is words, belief, and actions. And iman increases with good actions, and it decreases with bad actions. الإيمان يزيد بالطاعة. يزيد بالطاعة. Iman increases with acts of obedience, acts of righteousness. وينقص بالمعصية. And it decreases with sin and transgression. Wallahi, it is very sad when I hear so many Muslims who say our iman is low. And it is like they're just, and then they say, we say to them, what are you doing about it? I'm just waiting. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for a sign. What sign are you waiting for? Iman, it's like, subhanAllah, like we were talking about before with training and exercise. If you do not train your body, you're not going to have, or you neglect your body and you just sit there and you hope for your body to become fit just like that, you think it's just going to happen, it's not going to happen. You have to exercise, you have to diet, you have to do something about your body. It doesn't just happen. Iman increases with righteous actions. So when you start to implement the righteous actions, your iman, you will see that it will increase. You will feel yourself, your iman is increasing. And it decreases through ma'asi, through sins, through minor sins and major sins. They accumulate. So the state or the condition of your iman is in accordance with your righteous actions. So for example, right now, we are listening to these words, these Islamic teachings from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and you find that your iman is probably increasing, or you find it very strong. So the state of your iman now is different to the state of your iman if you are in front of the television or watching a movie. So it all depends on where you put yourself. Where are you? What are you doing?
that will reflect on your iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith found in Tabarani and Hakim, said, "Innal imana la yakhluqu fi jawfi ahadikum kama yakhluqu ath-thawbu fas'alu Allah an yujaddida al-imana fi qulubikum." He said that indeed iman, your faith, it wears out. It fades out in the heart of any one of you, just as clothes wear out. Just as your clothes fade out. And then he goes on and he says, so ask Allah to renew the faith in your heart. Ask Allah to renew the faith in your heart. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So our iman, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is in need of a constant renewal. Know that iman has a taste. It has a taste. And in the hadith of Abu Huraira found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. He has tasted iman, the one who accepts Allah as his Rabb, Islam as his deen, as his religion, and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as a prophet and a messenger. You will taste iman when you enter Islam. And how many are people who revert to Islam, who convert to Islam, they have a feeling that cannot be described, a taste. Actually, not only is it a taste, but it is a taste that is sweet, as per the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three things. If they are found in you, you will taste the sweetness of iman. The first one, an yakuna Allahu wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma, that you love Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anything else. Wa an yuhibba al-mar'a la yuhibbuhu illa lillah, that you love another person, that you love them only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَضَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. And to hate, to turn, to disbelief after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you from it and saved you from it, just as you would hate to be thrown into the fire. Iman, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, has a nur. It contains light. And in the hadith which is found in Tabarani, hadith Ali radiyallahu anhu wa arda, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من قلب إلا وله سحابة كسحابة القمر بينما القمر يضيء إذ علته سحابة فأظلم. He said that there isn't a heart except that it has a sahaba. A sahaba is a cloud. The cloud here is a barrier. A barrier. There is no heart except that it has a barrier. Just like a sahabatul qamar, just like when the moon is concealed by a cloud. You know, the radiance of the moon, sometimes we find some clouds come past, and what happens? It removes the light of the moon. So he goes on and he says, whilst the moon is shining, a cloud passes. So your heart, which is the storehouse of iman, contains this nur, and sins and transgression, they put a veil from this iman. Iman, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is a reality. It has a taste, and it has a sweetness, and it has a light. It is with this iman that the companions and those who followed in their footsteps that came after them, their successors, were transformed from shepherds to chiefs and leaders of regions and nations. Through iman, individuals living in the depths of the desert, who were people of insignificance, having no stature, became great leaders and famous people throughout iman. Subhanallah. These people were living in the desert at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were shepherds looking after sheep, looking after animals, attending to their farms. And then came the message of Islam. And then came the message of Tawheed, of monotheism. And when iman entered their hearts and they articulated it with their tongues and they put it into reality with their limbs, they became leaders. Books are written about them, their biographies up to today. For example, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Whoever heard of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq before Islam? Whoever heard of Umar ibn al-Khattab before Islam? Who had ever heard of Khadija before Islam, or any of these people before Islam came about? So Islam promotes you. Islam honors you. Islam will make you leaders, inshaAllah ta'ala. And so from amongst the companions that had strong iman is a companion by the name of Rub'i ibn Amir. I want to share with you the story of Rub'i ibn Amir. The books of biography that talk about Rub'i ibn Amir state that he was a short man, that he had a thin build, but he had very strong iman. Short, thin, not a person who can, you know, show off his muscles and things like that. But what he did have was very strong iman. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he sent a delegation to the commander of the Persian forces. His name is Rustum. And Rustum actually requested for one of the Muslims to come to him so he can negotiate with him about the situation between the Muslims and the Persians. Especially after Rustum heard about and saw the defeat of the Persians. So Sa'd ibn Waqqas, ibn Abi Waqqas, he sent this Sahabi to him to negotiate and to talk. He was very educated as well. Knew the rules about Islam and the rules of war and battle. So Rub'i ibn Amir, he marches into the courtyard of Rustum. And you can just imagine that there are soldiers all around him with their weapons. And he marches in with pride. But what kind of pride? Not the type of pride that, you know, I own so much wealth, because his clothes were very humble. Not the type of pride that I have so many homes, so many cars, so many businesses. We're not talking about that type of pride. He marched in with the pride of being a Muslim, of having iman, of having been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Islam. So he marches in and he has a spear in his hand. And then Rustum begins to talk to Rub'i and he says to him, "What do you want from us? You want wealth? You want clothing? We will make you rich and happy. Look around you and no doubt you will see signs of richness and luxury. Lush carpets, fine curtains, gold embroidered walls, silk carpets. he says to him, don't you have any desire that we should bestow some of these riches upon you? So what's Rustam trying to do? He's trying to impress Rub'i with worldly riches. He tries to allure him. And then he says to him, man antum? Rustam says to Rub'i ibn Amir, tell me a little bit about yourselves. Man antum? Who are you? Now mind you, Rub'i is standing there in front of Rustam and he's listening to his words and he is not moved at all. He's not moved by his words. He doesn't care about any offer that he's being offered. Now listen to the response that Rub'i gives to Rustam. And wallahi, these words should be written in gold. He says to him, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ إِبْتَعَثَنَا اللَّهُ لِنُخْرِجَ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهِ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى سَعَتِهَا وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَى عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. He said, we are a people. Allah has chosen us so that through us, those of His creation whom He so desires could be drawn away from the worship of idols to the worship of Allah, to Tawheed. From the narrow confines of preoccupation with this world to its boundless expanse. And from the oppression and from the tyranny of the rulers to the justice of Islam. And he goes on and he says, whoever accepts that from us, we are prepared to welcome him. And whoever fights us, we will fight him until the promise of Allah comes to pass. So Rustam says, and what is the promise of Allah to you? Rub'i says, paradise for our martyrs and victory for those who live. And so we can see many examples of iman in the hearts and lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who followed closely in their footsteps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promises izzah, He promises honor, He promises tamkeen, He promises power, He promises nusrah, victory, and He promises istikhlaf, leadership and authority, to who? To those who have iman. All of these will come about if we have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is a haqq. It is a right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it as a right upon Himself to give nasr, to give victory to who? To the mu'mineen, to the believers. And elsewhere He says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Again, iman, those who have iman. To Allah belongs all the honor and to His messenger and to the mu'mineen, to the believers. Listen to another promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah promised those who have iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and act upon that iman through amal salih, righteous actions. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that He will surely grant them succession to authority upon the earth. This will happen when we have true iman, sincere iman, not a superficial iman, not an iman of decoration. So iman, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is essential for all our successes. Look at subhanallah, how many people are out there that claim they are Muslims, yet they don't pray. yet they are involved in riba, in interest transactions. Or they take intoxicants, whether it's drugs or alcohol. Or they commit zina, fornication, and adultery. So-called Muslims who have more faith and dependence in man-made laws and systems than faith and dependence and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and all the rules that govern them, and all that is between them. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Muslim Ummah is in dire need to put Iman into a reality, to renew its Iman and to correct its Iman, which in turn will see us return to our days of glory and might and make us victorious, insha'Allah ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us all with Iman. Brothers and sisters in Islam, from amongst the Iman boosters that no Muslim should neglect after Ramadan, firstly, do not neglect any obligations, for they are the most beloved actions to Allah. Anything that is compulsory, anything that is fard, anything that is wajib upon you, do not neglect it. In the hadith found in Bukhari, the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. Listen to these beautiful words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us what Allah said. He said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ, that my abd, that my servant does not draw near to me with anything more beloved to me than that which I have enjoined upon him. And my abd continues to draw near to me through the nawafil, through the sunnah act or the supererogatory actions. So first of all, the most beloved actions to Allah is the fard. Then you continue to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the sunnah acts of worship. From amongst the Iman boosters is fasting. Maybe the month of fasting, the month of Ramadan, has come to an end, but fasting has not come to an end. And there are many days in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended for us to fast outside of Ramadan. Fasting is one of the greatest acts of worship in Islam. It's a sacrifice. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi, he says that it is between me and him. So, and the reward is not defined. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reward for fasting. And fasting is very important to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended it for those young youth who cannot afford to get married and want to control the desire. He said what? He said to fast. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. He said and recommended fasting because fasting is a wija, it is a protection from falling into haram. In the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَصُومُ عَبْدٌ يَوْمًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بَاعَدَ اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَجْهَهُ عَنِ النَّارِ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. That no servant fasts one day for the sake of Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distances his face from the hellfire 70 years. One day that you fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the recommended days of fasting is fasting the 6 days after the month of Ramadan, the month of Shawwal. In the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sama Ramadan, thumma atba'ahu sittan min Shawwal, kana ka siyam al-dahr." That whoever fasted Ramadan, then follows it up with 6 days of Shawwal, it is as if he has fasted the entire year. So Ramadan, for example, each day for Ramadan that you fasted was equivalent to 10 days. And 30 days by 10 equals 300. And then the 6 days in Shawwal, multiply them by 10 for each day, that's 60. So that's 360 days. And also, the days do not have to be consecutive. They don't have to be after one another. And also, it is the correct opinion is to make up your days first and then follow them up with the 6 days of Shawwal. Unless you've left it too late and you're running out of time, then still do not forfeit the reward for fasting this day, the 6 days of Shawwal. From amongst the recommended days of fasting is the day of Arafah. And the day of Arafah is the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day before Eid al-Adha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about the reward in Sahih Muslim, said, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَهُ. That it wipes away the sins of the year before it and the year after it. From amongst the recommended days of fasting is Ashura. Ashura is the 10th day of the first lunar calendar called Muharram. So fasting the 10th day of Muharram, it's known as Ashura. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, commenting and talking about its reward, he said, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ. That it wipes away the sins of the previous year. Also, it is mustahab to fast the 9th with the 10th. It was on this day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun and his army. And so the Jews, they also honor and venerate this day, and they fast this day. And so we can oppose and be different to the Yahud, to the Jews. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended that we don't single out the 10th, that we fast the 9th before it. And as some ulama said, either fast a day before it or a day after it with the 10th. So the 10th is the main day, but we want to add a day so we can be different to the Jews. From amongst the recommended days of fasting is Mondays and Thursdays, as per the hadith which is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And when asked about these days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that these are the days that the actions are disclosed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُحِبُّ أَن يُعْرَضَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. He said, I love for my actions to be disclosed to Allah while I'm in a state of fasting. Also, from amongst the days recommended to fast are 3 days from each lunar month. In the hadith found in Bukhari, hadith Abu Huraira, he said, أوصاني خليلي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, my beloved companion, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, recommended me to do 3 things. بثلاث صيام ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر. To fast 3 days from each month. وركعتي الضحى. And to pray 2 units of prayer during the duha time. And the duha time is between when the sun has risen at least 15 minutes up until dhuhr time. This is the duha time. Pray 2, 4, 6, 8. It's up to you. وَأَنْ أُوْتِرَ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَنَامْ. And to pray my witr prayer before going to sleep. Praying the witr, praying the odd number of units that are before you go to sleep, and that should be the last prayer of the night. So we also learn from Sunan al-Tirmidhi and al-Nasa'i that it is preferred to fast on the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every lunar month. These days are known as Ayyamul Bidh. They are known as the white days. Many people, they say that the 6 days are of Shawwal after Ramadan, they say they are Ayyamul Bidh. But that is incorrect. They are not Ayyamul Bidh. Ayyamul Bidh, the white days, is given to the 13th, 14th and 15th of every lunar month because it is on those days and those nights that the moon is a full moon and the sky is filled with whiteness from the light of the moon. And again, for each one of those days, it's equivalent to 10 days. So if you fast 3 days from every month and you do so every month, it is as if you are fasting the entire year. Look at the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it is sunnah to fast most of Sha'ban, which is the month before Ramadan. In the hadith found in Bukhari, hadith Aisha, she said, I did not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast an entire month apart from Ramadan. And I did not see him fast more than in the month of Sha'ban. And some people, they single out the 15th of Sha'ban to fast. And this has no basis in the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the best fasting, the best fasting is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. In the hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أحب الصوم إلى الله صيام داود. That the best fasting is the fasting of Dawood. Dawood alayhi salam used to fast every alternate day. So he would fast one day, break his fast the next. Fast one day, break his fast the next. And remembering, brothers and sisters in Islam, that you don't have to have an intention for fasting, optional fasting. Unlike Ramadan, where you need to have an intention before the Fajr. From amongst the Iman boosters in Ramadan is the recitation of the Quran. In Ramadan, we find many Muslims are very much reading the Quran. Some Muslims, they recite or read the entire Quran in Ramadan, just once. Some Muslims, they read the whole Quran twice. I spoke to a brother in this Ramadan, a young brother, and he said to me, I've read it 3 times. The entire Mus'haf, 604 pages, 30 ajza, 114 chapters, surah. It is really shameful that many Muslims, after the month of Ramadan is over, they put the Quran back on into its pouch, into its leather pouch, or you know, whatever casing it might have, and they put it on the shelf to collect dust until the next Ramadan. Do yourself a favor, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, by reading the Quran daily, so that you can instill happiness and joy into your heart and soul and into your life. And don't deprive yourself of the therapy, of the rejuvenation that the Quran offers you during a time that so many people are depressed, so many people are miserable and bored. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we bring down of the Quran that which is a shifa, it's a cure, and that which is a rahmah, it's a mercy to the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. This Quran guides you to that which is upright, which is straight. In the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. Read the Quran. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيعًا لِأَصْحَابِهِ. For the Quran will come on the Day of Judgment as a shafi', as one who will intercede on your behalf. Will intercede on your behalf. But read the Quran. Don't abandon the Quran. As we read in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the messenger said, Oh my Lord, my people have abandoned this Quran. So the ulama said, in explaining this verse, they said, you have abandoned the Quran if you don't read the Quran. You have abandoned the Quran if you don't listen to the Quran. You have abandoned it if you don't make an effort to understand it. You have abandoned it if you don't use it for your rulings to rule by. You have abandoned it if you don't use it as a medicine for your body and a medicine for your hearts and your souls. From amongst the things that I remind you of, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, after Ramadan, is to continue with dhikrullah, with the remembrance of Allah with your tongues. One of the companions, he said to another companion, he said, I know when Allah remembers me. He said, how do you know when Allah remembers you? And then he mentioned to him the verse in the Quran whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. Allah says, remember me and I will remember you. So it's very simple. Remember Allah and He will remember you. And in the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The likeness of the one who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't remember Allah is like the living and the dead. So the one who remembers Allah is alive. Even if, for example, his limbs were shackled and he can't move, he is alive. And the one who doesn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a dead person, even though he roams between the living. Don't become heedless towards remembering the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who created every cell in your body. In the hadith which is found in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, it's a long hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example of the one who remembers Allah. And he says, the likeness of the one who remembers Allah is like the one who is fleeing from an enemy that is chasing him. The enemy is chasing, but he is one who remembers Allah. He's giving us an example. Until he reaches a fortress in which he enters for protection and refuge from his enemy. So he sees like a castle, a fortress, and he enters it. What happens now? He's protected and he's safe. That is the likeness of the one who remembers Allah, who seeks protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets protected from the shaitan. The shaitan is constantly chasing us. And our real fortress and protection is that we have dhikrullah, that we have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not neglect remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning. Words of remembrance after Al-Fajr and after Maghrib, after the Salat, when you leave your home, and the other times that you are recommended to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, after Ramadan, make sure you maintain praying your obligatory prayers in jama'ah, in congregation, in the masjid. Just as many of us, or many Muslims, were committed to doing so during the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى. He says, preserve, maintain, safeguard, in other words. Safeguard the prayers and the middle prayer. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And stand up in prayer, devoutly obedient. And in the hadith which is found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَا يَمْحُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ. Do you not want me to guide you to that which will wipe away the sins and will raise your ranks in reward? So the Sahaba, the companion, said, Bala ya Rasulullah. They said, yes. Tell us, guide us, what is it? قَالَ إِصْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ. Perfecting your wudu when you were in a state of not wanting to do so. For example, it's too cold and you have to make wudu with cold water, for example, because there's no hot water. When you do wudu ala al-makarih wa kathratu al-khuta ila al-masajid, and your many footsteps to the masajid, wa intidharu as-salati ba'da as-salat, and waiting for salat after salat, so waiting for one salat and waiting for the next, he goes on and he says, fadhalikum ar-ribat. He said, that is guarding the boundaries. That is guarding the boundaries. Some ulama said, if you do these things, if you perfect your wudu, especially during tough times, and your footsteps, your many footsteps to the masajid, and you're waiting for the salat after the salat, they said, if you do this, this is equivalent to the reward of guarding the boundaries of the Muslim territories. When you guard those who are guarding the territories, the regions of the Muslims from being attacked from the enemy, this is a very, very rewarding act in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some scholars, they said, it is guarding yourself from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, and the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim, مَنْ غَدَى إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ أَوْ رَاحَ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُزُلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ كُلَّمَا غَدَى أَوْ رَاحَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares for you, for the ones who go to the masjid in the morning and in the evening, He prepares for him an accommodation every time he goes in the morning and in the evening. And so from amongst the iman boosters also is to give sadaqah. During Ramadan, many Muslims are open-handed and they are giving sadaqah. They are giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was very generous, especially in the month of Ramadan. But sadaqah should not be restricted to the month of Ramadan. You should be giving sadaqah inshallah ta'ala throughout the year, because sadaqah is derived from sidq, and sidq means truthfulness. So when you give sadaqah, this is a reflection of your truthfulness in the faith and your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it's a small amount, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. That shaitan promises you poverty. Shaitan doesn't want you to give. He promises you poverty. And he enjoins fahsha, lewdness, that you do lewd acts. وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you what? He promises you forgiveness and he promises you bounty. And he said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That you will not attain piety until you spend from that which you love. You need to spend from that which you love. And the best time to give sadaqah is when you are in a state when you are feeling tight, when you are feeling like a miser. That's the best time to give sadaqah. When you are feeling that you want to become rich, when you are feeling that you might become poor, this is the best time to give sadaqah as per the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the hadith which is found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَسَيُكَلِّمُهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He said, there is not one of you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to. Kalam, يكلمه الله ليس بينه وبينه ترجمان. On the day of judgment, Allah will speak to you and there is no translator or interpreter between you and Allah. فَيَنْظُرُ الْعَبْدُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهِ So the person will look to his right. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ And he will see what he has done in terms of what he has done in this dunya of goodness. وَيَنْظُرُ الْعَبْدُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهِ And he will look towards the left. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ And he will see what he has put forward in this dunya. وَيَنْظُرُ إِلَى بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ And he will look between, or he will look before him, in front of him, between his arms, between his hands. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ So when he looks to the front, he sees the fire. He sees the fire. تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ He sees the fire in front of him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةِ Fear the fire. Protect yourself from the fire even by giving part of a date. Part of what? Part of a date, a tamrah. So after Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, spend from the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. From amongst the iman boosters is to constantly make tawbah after Ramadan. Many Muslims, they make tawbah only during the month of Ramadan. But a Muslim is required to make tawbah, repentance, throughout the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ He says, repent to Allah, جَمِيعًا, all of you, أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ O you who are believers, now listen. Allah didn't say, أَيُّهَا الْمُذْنِبُونَ أو أَيُّهَا الْعَاصُونَ O you who are sinful. He said, oh, you who are believers, repent to Allah. Because repentance is a characteristic of the believer, of the mu'min. And in the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ayyuha nas, tubu ila Allah, fastaghfiruh, fa inni astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi fil yawmi mi'ata marra. He said, O people, repent to Allah and ask for forgiveness. For I make istighfar, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And I repent to Him in one day, 100 times. Who is saying this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one whose past sins and future sins are forgiven. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking for forgiveness 100 times a day, maybe we should be doing it at least 1,000 times. At least 1,000 times a day. From amongst the greatest iman boosters after Ramadan is Qiyamul Layl, standing up in night prayers. During the month of Ramadan, we got used to praying Taraweeh, which is a form of Qiyam, which is standing up in night prayers. But Qiyam is not limited to the month of Ramadan. You can also pray Qiyam at home after Ramadan. So Taraweeh may have come to an end, but Qiyam hasn't. And wallahi, through Qiyamul Layl, you will discover amazing things happening in your lives. If you can commit yourself to Qiyamul Layl, some amazing things will happen in your life, insha'Allah. In the hadith of Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِقِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ قَبَلِكُمْ وَقُرْبَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَمَطْهَرَةٌ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ وَمَنْهَاتٌ عَنِ الْإِثْمِ He said, perform the qiyam, or adhere to the qiyam, for it is the practice of the righteous people before you. And it is also a means of drawing near to your Lord. وَمَطْهَرَةٌ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ, and it wipes away and it purifies you of your sins. And it keeps you away from committing sins and transgressing the limits of Allah. And in the hadith found in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ, spread the salam amongst you. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ, and give food, feed the poor and needy, in other words. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ, and pray during the night when people are asleep, and you will enter Jannah peacefully. From amongst the iman boosters is dua. And dua is the weapon of a believer. During the month of Ramadan, almost every night, we heard the dua of the imam. And we made dua when we were fasting. But dua again is not limited to the month of Ramadan. And we need to get into the habit of making constant dua. Because dua in itself, even though you might be asking for something, dua which is supplication, invocation, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you might be asking for something for yourself, a personal need, it in itself is a ibadah. It's an act of worship. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ, that dua is ibadah. Dua is an act of worship. Make dua, especially in the third part of the night. On Friday, when there is 1 hour, a period of time, if you make a dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most likely accepting of your dua. Between the adhan and the iqamah and the other times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding dua, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءِ, is he not best who responds to the desperate one when he calls upon him and removes evil? When you need something, don't turn to the creation, but turn to the creator. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it happen. Don't turn to anybody. Sometimes when you turn to people, you're just reducing from yourself. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the iman boosters is to seek knowledge after the month of Ramadan. Because those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most are those who are scholars and those who have knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that those who fear Allah from His slaves are the ulama, are the people of knowledge. So learn about your deen, about your obligations, learn about the prophets, learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are two major factors which are the root of all evil. Remember this. There are two things which are the root of all evil. Number one, ignorance, not having knowledge. How are you going to worship Allah? How are you going to learn where the limits are, where the barriers are? So ignorance is one. And the second one is ittiba'ul hawa, following your desires. They are the two roots of all evil. Ignorance and following your desires. Al-jahlu wa ittiba'ul hawa. In the opening of my presentation, I mentioned the hadith of the man that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell me about something that nobody else can tell me about except you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what? قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, say, I believe in Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, and then what? And then be steadfast. What is the virtue of being steadfast? Al-istiqamah. Listen to this verse. or these verses in Surah Fussilat. And I'm going to conclude with these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those who say, Allah is our Rabb, or our Rabb is Allah. Those who say, our Rabb is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, and remained on the right path, and remain steadfast. What happens? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels come down when? The ulama have given two times. They come down when you are on your deathbed, when you were dying. If you had iman, the correct iman, and you had istiqama, the angels come down when you are dying. The other time is on the day of resurrection, when you are being resurrected. So these are two moments of extreme fear that every single one of us here will taste inevitably. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels come down during these two times. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. Fear not. Do not have any fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And do not go through grief. Don't grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Imagine you are given that glad tidings and receive the good tidings of Jannah. Don't fear, don't grieve, and receive the good tidings of Jannah الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ, that which you are promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We, in other words, the angels, are your allies in this worldly life and in the hereafter. In this worldly life, when you are dying, the angels are your allies if you had iman and you had istiqama. And in the hereafter is when you are being resurrected. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. And in it, in the Jannah, is what your souls desire. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And whatever you wish for, you will find it in Jannah. نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. An accommodation from a Lord, He was forgiving and merciful. Think about these words that I wish to leave you with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and the zeal to be outstanding Muslims, not only in Ramadan, but in every month after Ramadan, and every day and every hour until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
For more lectures or to request the monthly ASWJ Media CD to be delivered to you every month, please visit our website. You may also take advantage of the website to request CDs for a particular event, such as a wedding, dinner function, or any other occasion. Visit us on aswjmedia.com.au.